Okay, for a message, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 6, in verse 63, for a text verse. John 6, 63. I've titled the message this morning, Spirit and Life. Spirit and Life. Jesus said here in verse 63 of John 6, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." In the New King James Version, that verse is translated this way: "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Just very similar, but just slightly different. And then the New Living Translation, it says, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." I'd like to read verses 27 to the end of the chapter. In verse 27 of chapter 6, he says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew it in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. What I'm noticing here in this chapter, this last part of this chapter, is the struggle that the Jews had, the scribes and Pharisees especially, and even a lot of the common people, the struggle that they had in receiving and believing the words that Jesus spoke to them. And I think the key to that is in our text verse, where Jesus said, It is the Spirit that quickeneth. That word quickeneth means to make alive or to give life to. There's several different references in Scripture that come to mind when we think about quicken. In Ephesians, there's one that says, And you hath he quickened. You know, and you hath he made alive, or you hath he given life to, is what he would be saying in that verse. He says, The Spirit gives us life. The Spirit makes us alive. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And he says that the flesh profits nothing. And I think what he is saying is in the spiritual sense. We know that we need this body, the flesh, if you will. We need this body to operate in the physical realm. You know, God has chosen to operate through flesh, if you will. And he may be referring to flesh as in the old man when he's saying that the flesh profits nothing. But anyway, I think what he's bringing out here is the key to this, that why the Jews could not understand what he was saying is because they were operating in the flesh. And they weren't made alive in the Spirit, and therefore the words that he was speaking to them were, like they said, a hard saying, because they took it literally. You know, if you would take it literally, that this man is saying, you're going to have to eat my literal flesh and drink my literal blood, that's a hard saying. You know, that's cannibalism, isn't it? And as we read here, a lot of his disciples went back and didn't walk with him anymore because that this was too hard a thing. They were looking at it from a fleshly standpoint. But Jesus was saying that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And there's a lot more to it. There's a verse in the Bible somewhere in maybe Corinthians where it talks about, you know, we as an individual, we understand at least part of our heart. I think there's some of our heart that we don't understand. Or maybe it refers to it as our spirit. We understand a lot of the things that go on inside us. We can receive that. But it says then that the things that are spiritual, the things of God, are not understood by the natural because they are revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And so when we are operating like these people were without the Holy Spirit, operating in the flesh, in the old man, we cannot understand words like this. And they look like hard sayings, just like Nicodemus when Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus right away went into the literal. He was saying, well, how can this be? Can you enter the second time into your mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus was speaking words of spirit and life, and Nicodemus was operating in the flesh, and he couldn't understand that. And I'm not sure if Nicodemus got it It appears like he may have gotten it at some point, because he was involved in the thing of the body of Jesus, taking it from the cross. And there were a few times in Scripture that we see when Nicodemus was with the, what was he, a Pharisee? Anyway, whatever group he was with, the religious leaders, that he stood up for Jesus. He kind of spoke out in, you know, his own way. Maybe there was some timidity there yet, that he was a little bit scared of really letting the people know what he actually believed, but he at least put in a good word. So we see he was coming around. I'd like to look at some scripture references that use this word here in our text verse, the Greek word, some other passages where the same Greek word is used. And I didn't put that word in my notes because it was a long word and I have no idea how to pronounce it. So if you want to look it up, feel free to do that. But that word quickeneth, the Greek word. In John 5, verses 19 to 21, this was after Jesus had healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. It says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." So, I believe we need to look at that in the spiritual sense. For as the Father raises up the dead, I mean, yeah, there are times that God, Jesus, raised up physical bodies and put the spirit came back, entered the physical body, and the body became alive again on this earth. But I think he's talking about in a spiritual sense, the Father raising up the spiritual dead, quickens them, gives them life, even so the Son, Jesus is saying, even so the Son, I am quickening whoever I will. And that goes right hand in hand with the verse where Jesus said that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go. And I forget the rest of that passage there, but you can look that up. I think it might be in John 13. I'm not sure. No, it's not 13. It's earlier in John. But anyway, you can look that up. The next passage is in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And that is where that same Greek word is used. That he that raised up Christ from the dead, the Father is who he's talking about, shall also make your mortal bodies come alive by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, because of that, because we were made alive by the Spirit of life of Christ in us, we are debtors, not to the flesh, not to the old man anymore, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That is through the Spirit that Christ put in us, that God put in us, that he made us alive with. If we through that Holy Spirit mortify or bring under the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I love that passage. It speaks of life. It speaks of hope. It speaks of victory and of freedom, where Jesus cannot deny himself. It tells us that in Scripture. And so his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit, the spirit of the life of Christ in us, that we are the children of God. And so it's, we don't need others telling us, well, yeah, you're a child of God, because the Spirit of God bears witness with us, with our spirit, that we are his children. And guess what? When we believe that and we receive that into our hearts, it makes us come alive, because our work, as Jesus said, is to believe on him. And so one of those things that we must believe in order to have victory, in order to walk in the Spirit in this life, is to believe that we have the life of Christ in us, that we have been quickened, that we have been made alive, that we have Spirit and life in us, as God said, that he would make us alive when we come to him. Another passage is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I was going to read quite a few verses there, but I see that clock is racing again, so I'll just pick out a few of the verses here. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, we'll just break in there. He says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive." And it's again that same word, quickeneth. Dropping down to verse 36, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." And I love that part. Unless the old man is dead, and that happens at baptism according to Romans 6, is buried with him by baptism, the old man was crucified with Christ, and we are resurrected a new man. So unless the old man is dead, then according to this, it can't be made alive. So unless the old man is dead, we cannot be made alive in Christ. We cannot be quickened. In verse 45, "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." And that is the new man that is resurrected, raised up in Christ at baptism. And we are resurrected a new man in Christ, made alive in Christ, and given the freedom and the power and the victory to walk in freedom in the Holy Spirit. That was the purpose of Jesus going to the cross, so that we could receive the life that he gives us. By giving his life, he gives us life through the Holy Spirit. The last part of that verse, he says, because of all this, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," in verse 58, "be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So because of the life of Christ, because of Spirit and life, he is saying, continue in that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the word is used again in verse 6. He says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." The Spirit makes us alive, he says, where the letter kills us. Galatians 3, in verse 21. Maybe we'll just read verses 21 to 27. "In the law, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life," he's saying, if there had been a law given which could have actually given life, or could have made you alive, or could have quickened you, "verily righteousness should have been by the law." If the law would have been able to quicken us and make us alive and give us the Spirit and life, then our righteousness would have been by the law. But he goes on, he says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. The law showed us our sinfulness, is what it did. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, or some translations say teacher, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster or teacher. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And there's a lot more that could be said on that passage, but we'll continue on here. A few other passages, not from this Greek word now, but that are speak into this text verse here. In John chapter 7, verses 37 to 53, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I spoke of this earlier already. This is not talking about putting a faucet in your belly button where you can open it up and water comes out of it. It says in verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit. He is talking, not of a fleshly thing, a physical water running out of your belly, but he's speaking of spiritual life, of spirit and life coming out of us from our soul, if you will. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus was referring forward to the time when he would have ascended into heaven, when he would have sent the Holy Spirit, and he was saying that if we believe on him, out of our soul, out of our belly, out of our very being is going to flow rivers of living water. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? They were coming back into the flesh thing. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? I really like the officers' answers here. This thing was working on them. The officers answered, never spake man like this man. The words of Jesus were speaking to these officers because they weren't blinded by this religion that the scribes and Pharisees were blinded by. The scribes and Pharisees couldn't receive it, but the officers didn't have that blindness, and so these words made an impression on them to where they couldn't even take him. Never spake man like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers over the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Now this is where Nicodemus stepped up a little bit. He said, Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. And so the debate was getting a little heated there, and it says that they just went their own way. They went back to their houses, which was probably a good thing. Matthew 7, I'd like to read verses 13 to 29. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So, back to our text verse, it says here that the flesh profiteth nothing. If we look at this scripture and we look at it from a fleshly standpoint, it profits us nothing. But if we look at it as spirit and life, and we see the spirit behind what is being taught here, what is being said here, it brings life. Yeah, I think so many times we tend to take the Word of God and we tend to look at it from a fleshly standpoint, even as born-again believers. We tend to look at it as rules that we have to somehow try to apply to our lives. And because of that, the letter kills. But when we look at it as Jesus is saying here, that the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life, when we look at it in the Spirit and we are walking in the Spirit and operating in the Spirit, it brings us life. Versus when we are operating in the flesh, then it brings death. And so I believe the heart of Jesus here is that he would want every one of us to have Spirit and life, to be operating in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and looking at the things that he said and the things that he did as spirit and life and not as the flesh. Another question in this verse, Jesus said that the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Should the words that we speak also then, as disciples of Jesus Christ, be words of spirit and life? Should they give life to those that hear us speak? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, that could probably be a whole message preached on that verse, but you know, when we love the power that we get out of our tongue in tearing people down, we're going to eat the fruit of that. When we love the power that God has given us through, and that would be operating in the flesh. When we love the power that God has given us in the Spirit to speak blessing and life and hope and joy and peace and so forth to other people, and we love that and we walk in that, then we will eat the fruit of that. It comes back to us, you know, probably tenfold. In James 3:8, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. That verse speaks very much to us of the futility of trying to control our tongue with the flesh. It says, no man can tame it. And so we can put in all the effort we want to try to control our tongue, but chances are there's going to come a time when we're under pressure and there's going to be a slip of the tongue. And we'll speak words of hate and cursing or whatever, because we cannot tame the tongue. That will only be tamed by operating in the Spirit, by giving our tongue, our whole body, to the power of Spirit and life of the Holy Spirit and operating in that. Matthew 4:4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And I like to think of that as the words coming out of the mouth of God are spirit and life. Jesus and God are one. But we can take them in either way. We can take them as from the flesh and as condemnation. When we're operating in the flesh, we receive the words of God as condemnation. But when we're operating in the Spirit and we know that we are children of God, His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, He enables us to receive the Spirit and life that God speaks to us. When God speaks words to us, we receive it as His children instead of receiving it as beggars, if you will. We can receive it as a prince or a princess, a child of the King, rather than as a beggar in condemnation. I'd like to close with two scriptures here. The first one here in Romans 8:1-2, I already read, but I'll read it again. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The flesh profits nothing, but the Spirit quickens, it gives life. For the law of the Spirit of life," the Spirit of life of Christ in us, he says, "has made me free from the law of sin and death." The law of sin and death says you have sinned and you're going to die. But the law of life in Jesus Christ sets us free from that. The law of life in Christ says that Jesus is saying, "I paid for all of your sin. I took death for you so that you could have my life, and not just my life, but abundant life, not just any old life, but abundant life, that you could live above the law of sin and death, that you can rise above that, and you are free because you are a child of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of freedom, of life in Christ, of a son of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. That is what Jesus paid for, is a complete freedom for all of us, His children. And then I'd like to close with this verse in Galatians 5:16. He says, "This I say then," because of this text verse, because of what Jesus did. He says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." That is the key to victorious Christian living. To recognize that everything has been done, everything has been bought and paid for, and now we get to live by the report card of Jesus Christ. You know, when I look at my report card, it is full of all kinds of nasty stuff. But I get to live by the report card of Jesus Christ. But I have to be able to receive that. You know, as long as I am focusing on my report card, it keeps me in bondage. But when my focus shifts to Jesus Christ, just like Peter walking on the water, and my focus is on Jesus Christ and my relationship with Him, it frees me to live life abundantly and victoriously. And that is what Jesus is saying here. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Spirit quickeneth. The flesh doesn't profit you anything, but He gives you life." Let's kneel to pray.